Thank you, Dr. Hu. Well, good afternoon. So I'm going to talk about GraceNet. It's an agriculture research service program or project. And Dr. Follett is sitting here. He's the leader of it. So if there are any real good questions, he'll gladly answer the questions. And my other co-author, Mark Liebig. So GraceNet is an acronym that stands for Greenhouse Gas Reduction Through Agricultural Carbon Enhancement Network. And it takes a couple of years to remember, but it's worth the effort. And we've been working on it for a while. So, that doesn't mean much, but I wanted to also explain that it's a group of scientists working together, primarily ARS. It was initiated by ARS, but we're trying to expand it into the university system and eventually internationally. So we get together usually at least once a year, sometimes more, and discuss the issues that are at hand. And we have multiple locations, and it's geographically diverse. So we cover a lot of different ecoregions. Certainly we could use more, and that's why international and university partners will be important. Because on this scale, the soils are different, the cropping systems are different, the issues that are at hand, whether it's water quality or soil quality or air emissions, they're all a little bit different. But our focus is on soil carbon and greenhouse gas emissions. So we have several objectives, and one of the objectives is to evaluate the status and direction of change in soil organic carbon from existing typical and alternative agricultural systems. So the idea was that we wanted to have some sort of baseline estimate of a typical management system, and so we're looking at, if it were in the Midwest, a corn-soybean rotation. Somewhere out in the West, it could be a rangeland management, or perhaps extensive continuous grazing. Whatever is typical for the region, and so we're looking at the alternatives from that typical situation. Another objective is to determine the net greenhouse gas emissions, the net balance of CO2, methane, and nitrous oxide from existing typical and alternative agricultural systems. So in this objective, we're actually including the other greenhouse gases other than carbon dioxide and other than the soil-related carbon dioxide. And then we also have an objective to determine the ancillary environmental responses, whether that's water, soil, or air quality, from these agricultural systems that are developed to reduce the greenhouse gas emissions and increase soil carbon storage. With that, with those objectives in mind, we've I think it was a simplified approach to try to organize our research on around four different approaches. And one of the approaches is a business as usual approach, and that I've called these here scenarios. And so it's whatever's typical in the region. It's the majority of the producers are using that. And it may be different cropping systems or grazing systems, which is also expanding into perhaps animal production systems. The next approach would be to not only look at business as usual, but to maximize soil organic carbon sequestration. Now, again, this is an approach. It doesn't mean that we're implementing a treatment to necessarily maximize soil organic carbon, because we'll have multiple treatments to evaluate what the maximum soil organic carbon sequestration would be. But it's one of the approaches that is we want to look at how can we maximize soil organic carbon sequestration rate. A third one is not only just to look at the carbon, because we realize now if we actually look at carbon, we have high nitrogen input, whether that be from inorganic or organic manures, that we could be releasing more nitrous oxide and methane. And so we're looking at the net greenhouse gas balance in the third approach to look at the CO2, the methane, and the nitrous oxide in total. And then the fourth one is to look at beyond just greenhouse gas mitigation, but also to water quality, to air quality, and soil quality issues, to look at the net environmental balance, the benefits from different environmental approaches. But we're all within an agricultural context. So the methodology has been developed. Several scientists got together and developed a common approach that they could agree upon, and most of them are based on the chamber method for nitrous oxide and methane, and oftentimes for carbon dioxide, although other approaches for carbon dioxide are used as well. So you see some diversity of conditions. We have typically small chambers. The actual size is not standardized in many cases, but the approach of how to measure the greenhouse gases and the length of time the mathematical equations to develop the rates are agreed upon by a group of people. And those protocols are posted on the web. They're available for anyone to look at, and that's available through the GraceNet website here. So our government system goes from very specific to very general, ars.usda.gov, and then when it gets really specific, then we add a forward slash, and then the GraceNet project. So it's pretty easy to find. If you type in GraceNet on Google or any other search engine, you may or may not find ARS GraceNet, but type in ARS GraceNet, then you should be able to locate it quite easily. Because the acronym stands for many other things in the world as well, not just science-related. Okay, so all of these protocols are available here on that website, and Dr. Follett was leading that effort to make sure that they were published on the web in a fashion that was scientifically defensible. And we have the protocols. We have other items on there too. We have photo gallery. We have the participants that are there. We do need to do some updating on some participants, I believe, because that changes, from month to month. And we've got also a list of publications that are on there. So that's a useful resource as well. And it's all within our national program 212, which is just an internal thing, but it's all based on climate change, soils, and emissions. And here are some of the chapters that are in this protocol. The first one on guidelines for site description and soil sampling, the processing, analysis, and archiving of them. You see the authors there. We also have guidelines for plant sampling, for the chamber-based trace gas flux measurements. I suspect that Chapter 3 is one that is often used more often outside of our organization than any, because we do have a lot of interest from other participating scientists. And then we also have the micrometeorological measurements, because that actually is an approach that has been used as a networking opportunity in ARS for a number of years prior to this, and those are either with the Bowen ratio or the eddy flux measurements. And so that's up there as well. And then we have guidelines to populate the GraceNet database template. So we are in the process of getting our database in shape. It should be available to at least to ARS participants with the password relatively soon, and we hope to allow it to be available to all scientific participants at some point. And so you can wait to hear more about that too. And this is just a snapshot of what the database currently looks like. We do have these tabs over here, the locations, the crops, the management, the amendments, the grazing, soil, climate, and spatial. And you can make these selections here on the tillage management, the residue removal, the scenario, whether it's the approach 1, 2, or 3, or 4, and then any kind of organic amendments that are there. So that's the main box where you'd make some selections and look for data to look at either modeling exercise or validation of your own data against, to make sure that we're in the same ballpark region or even typical responses with various management. And on the bottom here, you see some of the lines of entry just from the management operations. We have treatment ID. You can see here, I believe MD stands for Maryland. Then we got GA for Georgia. That's all that's listed there. And then we got various terms in there. It's got the dates and the types of management. So we hope that it'll be a useful resource. It's a public resource for with federal dollars, and so hopefully it'll be useful for other people. So that's the National Database of Greenhouse Flux and Soil Organic Carbon Storage. We have both emissions of gases as well as carbon sequestration in the soil. So that's one product. Another product that we're attempting is to have regional national guidelines for management practices that reduce greenhouse gas intensity. So the greenhouse gas per unit of product that's applicable for use by producers, federal and state agencies, and carbon brokers. And these are two publications on the bottom where we've tried to summarize some of the information that's out there. The one on the left is a cotton production system that I was involved with, just trying to summarize the soil organic carbon responses under various cotton production systems. And then a review of agricultural opportunities to mitigate greenhouse gas emissions, which is available in the Environmental Pollution Journal. Other products, back in 2005, we published a special issue in soil and tillage research and tried to get a handle on the total amount, the responses that were available in carbon sequestration as well as greenhouse gas mitigation in various regions of the United States as well as Canada. And that information helped advise the Chicago Climate Exchange, which was useful in its time, but since has been sold and is no longer operable in the United States. But it is operated by the European, ICFI, I believe, is the... Maybe I got it wrong. Anyway, there was another company that took over the Chicago Climate Exchange, and so they don't actually trade anymore in the United States. It also helped to advise a publication by the Duke University, and it was formed by the Technical Agricultural Greenhouse Gas Working Group, TAG for short. And so that information is summarized in that report. That's a really useful report. If you haven't seen it, you can go to the Duke website, and look for type in T-AGG, and you should be able to find their publications there. And we're also working with the USDA Office of the Chief Economist to look at updating the technical guidelines for greenhouse gas emissions on an entity level, so farmers and industries will be able to actually determine their estimated greenhouse gas emissions based on various management practices. And that's in the works as we speak. And it's led by scientists from the university as well as ARS scientists. Another product is the development and valuation of computer models created to assess management effects on net greenhouse gas emission. We've been using a variety of models, and other models are certainly welcome to help us evaluate the effects of management. One model is the EPIC model, and the EPIC with their century routine embedded in it. Another model is the descent model. It's a daily routine of century, and that's been very useful to estimate nitrous oxide. Steve Del Grosso walks in, and he's leading that effort in many respects. Other computer models are also being tested. We've got the research unit in Beltsville that's doing a lot with that. I've worked with the Soil Conditioning Index. That's a U.S.-specific simple model that is based on the Russell 2 model. And it seems to work pretty good, at least for the southeastern U.S. and the Midwest. And also the sequester model, which Harold Galani has taken over, and that was developed in Pendleton, Oregon. So it's another relatively simple model that can predict carbon changes in soil. And though we're not limited to those models, we're all also happy to evaluate other models and to test the models against the data that are being collected within the GraceNet scenarios. We also like to think that we can provide summary papers to the action agencies and policymakers so that they get useful information in not so detailed scientific language, but also that gives them an idea of the types of the research that are out there, the typical responses that are occurring under various management practices. And so this article was published in 2006 after the soil and tillage research to a four-page article more as an executive summary to synthesize what we found in a longer treatise on the scientific investigation. The summary papers from that soil and tillage research article were then put in this table here. And we see that we evaluated five regions, and we focused mainly on the U.S. and Canada because that's where the information we had at the time that we felt was most applicable. And we saw that there were certain contrasts that were abundant, let's say, and like conservation versus conventional tillage. That's something that was evaluable, that we had information to evaluate within all five regions. So that was useful to see what are the regional differences in carbon sequestration. And those values are up there. They can be modified with additional data. And certainly some of those regions didn't have many data points, so we would like to see more research there. But then you also see other contrasts that like the addition of animal manure or even of nitrogen fertilizer, where we really didn't have much information from any of the regions at the time. Again, this was a 2005 publication. So it pointed out the need for additional research in these regions. And then even within a region, we can see that, such as the Northeast region, that's we need a great deal of research effort on carbon sequestration and greenhouse gas emissions. And that's where we need, you know, to also focus maybe a regional approach is investing more in these different regions on if we're serious about this, then we need to invest resources there. So that was useful in that respect. And then we also looked at the nitrous oxide emissions and the methane emissions, and we realized quickly that we just don't have a whole lot of information at the time. And so that was one of the reasons why we further went with the GraceNet approach, is to populate this database so that we could actually make some interpretations from the data. So we identified a lot of things just from that one initial special issue that tried to synthesize the current state of knowledge. Well, since then, Dr. Follett has been able to coordinate some other activities, and we had a symposium in Houston, Texas, back in October of 2008. It's always nice to have a meeting in Texas in October. I guess that's the tradition. We only have meetings in October when it's in Texas. But it was also useful, and I think it showed the value of the GraceNet approach, because there were a number of papers that were published. And they had various themes. Ron was able to give us an overview, first of all, and then look at conservation agricultural systems. We had also a paper on fallow effects, on urban turf grasses. So we're seeing the diversity of interest there. The sequester model was in that session. The green manure and composting. Regional approach, Northern Corn Belt. Looking at fertilizer emissions, nitrous oxide emission from fertilizer applications, and the enhanced fertilizers that are out there and what their impact on nitrous oxide would be. Looking at manures, irrigated systems. This is another area that needs a good deal of attention, because irrigation is very important, but we have limited data to make conclusions. And then the economics of mitigation. So we're trying to get a broad brush approach, and this is another just a step. We're certainly not there, and we need more information. But we're trying to move forward on that. A report that was just announced publicly this past week was the CAST report: Carbon Sequestration and Greenhouse Gas Fluxes in Agriculture, Challenges and Opportunities. Ron, how many pages was that? 112 pages, so not easy reading. For me, it would be something I would fall asleep at night with. But it's a lot of scientific information, basically summarizing the information in North America to date, and on almost all agricultural systems in North America. So the ARS scientists were played a prominent role there as well. Our next product is a book that's we're planning with Academic Press. You can find a flyer at the Elsevier Academic Press booth downstairs. And here I'll just go into the outline of the book. We have an introduction to what is the need for greenhouse gas mitigation research. And you see the authors that are there. In most cases, we have the chapters in hand, and we're ready to publish in 2012. We are awaiting some final determination on a few chapters. We look at that's the outline of the first section. We have seven sections. We have on soil carbon dynamics. We took a regional approach. We're looking at the eastern U.S. croplands, the central USA croplands. We felt that it was important to delineate between the Midwest, the corn-soybean belt, because it's such an important economic activity for agriculture that we needed to have a good handle on just that region itself, and the western croplands, which is a very diverse region, and it also shows that we need a lot more information. It's a large area, but we have a very little limited information from that area, so there's a lot of work that needs to be done there yet. We have rangelands and pasture lands and bioenergy systems, because we know that that's an important part of the government portfolio right now. The third section of the book is on quantifying the greenhouse gas emissions. And we combined the eastern and central region because we realized we wanted to keep them separate, but we realized there were very few data out there, and so we had to combine them in the end. And then the western croplands. We combined the rangeland and pastures into a grassland, and we also had the bioenergy systems. So again, it's not that we are having final solutions here in these chapters. We are updating the synthesizing the research that has been done, but it's only a step towards a greater goal, and we want to continue this in collaboration with university and international partners. And we also had a section on organic and wetland soils. So the fourth section was on the models and how they could be used in simulating some of the responses. We have a chapter on descent, on Century and Comet VR, on sequester, and the Epic Century, and GEMS from the U.S. Geological Survey. The fifth section is on measurements and monitoring. So these are getting more into the methods and what the limitations of some methods and what can be expected from the methods. So we have a chapter on chamber-based fluxes, spectroscopic methods, micrometeorological methods, and remote sensing. So here we're trying to synthesize again and looking at the various methods and what they could bring to the table on how to estimate greenhouse gas emissions. And we also tried our best to include economics and policy. We've got a few chapters there, but certainly this is another realm that I think we in ARS, that's not our domain. We have to work with partners on this. But we do have a few economists in our agency, and Dave Archer is one of them. We also have the history and outlook of carbon trading, and that goes into the past 20 years of activity there. And policy instruments that are used in some of the negotiations in Congress to estimate what is the potential from agriculture and how that might influence land use and the economic implications of changing land use. And then a final section on looking ahead, looking at the responses that can be expected with elevated CO2. ARS is well noted for its research, coordinated research among a number of locations on elevated CO2, and keeping a sink rather than allowing it to carbon to be escape from the soil, and linking GraceNet to other programs such as the North American Carbon Program or even the Global Research Alliance on Greenhouse Gases. And looking beyond mitigation into adaptation of agricultural systems and how we can overcome the challenges of climate change and of global change on agricultural systems. So to summarize, mitigation of greenhouse gases can be achieved by sequestering carbon in soil with various conservation agricultural practices. And the conservation agricultural practices is not limited to conservation tillage. It's one of the tools in our management box, but it's only one of them. And we have ideas about diverse crop rotations. Those play into it as well. Cover cropping is certainly very valid in many parts of the U.S. It could be expanded. It's very appropriate in the southeastern United States, but it's appropriate in the wetter regions of the Northeast as well. And the Great Plains has some limitations with precipitation, but it is possible to incorporate more of that. So diversifying the cropping system. And we shouldn't forget about the grazing component because it's a large land use, whether it's rangeland or pasture land. The grazing land component is important, and we can modify our management. We don't have to have only continuous grazing where the desirable forages are grazed out and we're left with undesirable forages. We can use management techniques to improve upon our management systems. So also we have fluxes of carbon dioxide, methane, and nitrous oxide are variable in space and time, certainly. We've known that for a long time, and most of our data confirm that again. But I think with the more data we have, the better idea we'll have of how we can put that into a context that we can understand it. Okay, but current research is contributing to an increasingly greater understanding of how these fluxes can be stabilized and quantities considered acceptable, because we're not going to stop greenhouse gas emissions. It's an inevitable part of agricultural systems, but we need to lower them to a level that's manageable. And we can manage or avoid it through adoption of various practices. I think that's the thing that for ARS researchers, we want conservation systems to be adopted. We want to see that our research efforts are adopted by the farming community. And I think we can work together with the farming community to get that done. Agricultural adaptation strategies to overcome the influences of global changes can be developed with a sound scientific basis. I think the sound scientific basis is really what drives us. We want to make sure that policies that are implemented are based on sound science so that we can move forward in a carbon constrained world. So we want to network and leverage our resources among the locations so that we have scientific advancements in quantifying soil organic carbon sequestration and emission of greenhouse gases. We've created a relatively cohesive scientific culture within a multitasking organization. The scientists in ARS are driven by various national program issues that distract them, let's say. And if we think that greenhouse gas emissions and carbon sequestration are important, then this is one approach that really keeps us focused. And I think that's it's a really good activity that we've undertaken. And we've developed a strong national and international reputation of scientific inquiry in the field of greenhouse gases. And the USA is leading the croplands component of the Global Research Alliance. And we do have a meeting on October 20th, on Thursday. And if you're interested and you can stay, we'd certainly like to have you. It's an international meeting, and we have official government representation at the table, but we welcome observers as well. So thank you very much.